Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and we are back today to talk again about constipation and kind of just different causes and different strategies to think about. This is a very common problem after gastric sleeve, gastric bypass surgeries, and typically I find that most recommendations are more fiber, more fluids, and movement, but sometimes they just don't work. So when I have patients who have never had issues with constipation until after they've had some type of bariatric surgery, that's when I start digging a little bit more and try to help find different strategies or different angles to look at it so we can utilize some different options and maybe kind of attack it from a different way. So let's dig in to the three gut patterns of constipation after gastric sleeve and bypass surgeries. So we're going to talk about the all-encompassing dysbiosis. And really, dysbiosis is just a disruption or an imbalance of the microbiome that in some way impacts your health. And typically, it's going to involve where you have lower amounts of good bacteria and higher amounts of bad bacteria. So that's usually what we'll see. So what does this really mean and what causes dysbiosis? There are certain pathogens that can cause dysbiosis, certain medications or drugs like antibiotics and PPIs, those can cause dysbiosis, a poor diet. Think of your ultra-processed foods. Although I don't believe in perfection in how we eat, I do believe that the majority of the time you do need to be making good choices. And if you're eating an ultra-processed food diet, which would be a lot of packaged, processed, prepared fast foods, so things that come in a box, in a container, in a bag, that are pre-made, that have very low fiber content. So those are usually the ultra processed, the things that we don't want to rely on regularly. So if that's you, then the diet could be a contributor. Digestive and immune dysfunctions, and then toxins. This could be things like chemicals or biologicals that are lowering certain good bacteria and allowing those bad bacteria to overgrow. So the three common patterns of dysbiosis that we're going to talk about are insufficiency, inflammatory, and digestive dysfunction. And usually it's going to be a combination of all of these. Unlikely to be just one, but it could be. It could be you just have mostly the inflammatory or the digestive dysfunction that's really contributing to problems with motility and movement and your ability to have regular bowel movements. But usually I'm going to see a combination of all of these. So insufficiency. So think of this as you just don't have enough of the good guys. So I know you don't understand all of the different bacteria, what ones are good and what ones are bad. Some might be familiar, and we'll go over those in the bad category. But the good ones, most people aren't aware that we even have good bacteria and what their names are. A few that might sound familiar are Akkermansia, Lactobacillus, and Bifidobacterium are just a few. And those maybe you've heard of, maybe have been talked about before online, or you've just heard people talk about it. So the problem lies when there's an insufficient amount of these. They don't have that protective factor. So you're going to have low protection because now you're just creating that perfect environment for all the bad guys to take over and take root. Also, you're going to have an increased intestinal permeability. So those tight junctions in your intestines are not going to be able to protect you, and they're going to allow things to get through that shouldn't, and then your immune system's going to react, and now, you know, autoimmunity is an issue, food sensitivities, maybe even food allergies, food intolerances, all those things are very real and are things that you can struggle with when you have insufficient good bacteria. Also, you have a higher risk of intestinal infections, and that kind of goes with you're having higher levels of the bad bacteria kind of take over, because it's all about crowding out. So if you don't have more of the good, then guess what? The bad can kind of start crowding out the good and vice versa. Also, there's going to be an increase in inflammation. So you're going to have different symptoms, digestive symptoms that might appear. Same with both of these. If you're having intestinal permeability issues, you are going to be noticing that you react to foods after you eat them, maybe, you know, 30, 60 minutes or as late as 3 to 4 hours that you might notice some symptoms. So it could be the root of this intestinal permeability issue is you just need more of the good guys. So there's strategies, there's things you can do. You can be very direct and specific when you know which ones you're lacking in. So you don't have to be general. You can focus with certain stool tests. You can identify the ones that are maybe lacking and need attention. And there's specific strategies for all of those. The next one is inflammatory. Think of these as you're going to see bacteria that are moderate to high levels in certain pathogens. So these you've probably heard of. C. diff, E. coli, Salmonella, those are all big hitters that you've probably all, well, I wouldn't say everybody's had experience with, but if you've heard of someone who's experienced it. So that is going to be an inflammatory reaction. The opportunistic, you might have an increase in the opportunistic bacteria that increases inflammation. These you're unlikely going to have heard of, but Morganella, Citrobacter, Klebsiella, Candida, you've all probably heard of Candida, but the others, unlikely. But regardless, just like Morganella, if you have a high level of that, you're likely going to be struggling with constipation. So normal flora, if your normal flora is elevated, sometimes that's a red flag that there's some inflammatory components going on and your immune system is reacting. So you're kind of looking at these different areas and combining the information because that tells you a little bit about why maybe someone is having trouble with constipation. But really, the bacteria that cause the inflammatory process, they produce this lipopolysaccharide, or LPS. And really, it's just a potent activator of the inflammatory response. So when you have high levels of LPS, that's when lots of havoc can be had in your intestines and create lots of symptoms that you are experiencing. So doesn't always mean that you're going to have diarrhea or you're going to have other, more aggressive symptoms, but you could easily have some constipation so that it's just chronic and you're just really struggling. The last one is digestive dysfunction. So these are things like you don't have enough stomach acid. So you have to evaluate, am I on a PPI or do I have H. pylori? Is that one of the bacteria that is elevated, one of those pathogens? Insufficient bile acids, pancreatic insufficiency, so not enough pancreatic enzymes to digest the foods that you're intaking, which is not uncommon after weight loss surgery, brush border enzyme deficiency, altered GI motility, so you have maybe some scar tissue or other things that's prohibiting you from that movement, that muscular movement from happening. And so now you have issues with your digestion because of that scar tissue. And then decreased absorption. You can think of, fat malabsorption, which would be an increase in a steatocrit level. And that can be done on a stool test. Also like a low elastase, and that could be a connection with your pancreatic function. So when those levels come back abnormal, then that's when you might have issues with constipation. Also, H. pylori falls in there, and then increase in bacteria and yeast and parasites. All those are going to cause digestive dysfunction. So when you step back and you ask yourself, did I really increase the fiber, the fluids, and the movement, and what happened? Did I feel worse with fiber, which is a potential? That kind of gives us a little more information that maybe you have some overgrowth of some of these bacteria that are in the wrong area. And those are valuable things that can really help guide you in really getting to the root of what's causing this chronic issue with constipation. So if constipation has been your issue, you're taking all kinds of medications, supplements, or things just to have a bowel movement somewhat regular, maybe it's just every few days or maybe once a week, even with those, you want to start digging in deeper to why. Because if you don't get to the root of it, you're likely going to live with this long term. And you don't have to. There are solutions. There are things that we can do to help resolve this so that you don't have to suffer. So I hope that helps. And reach out. Feel free to reach out anytime if you find that this is you. You feel like, hey, I have some of these symptoms. I have some of these ideas that could be part of my story. So feel free to reach out. Just ask in any of the social media platforms. Feel free to just kind of raise your hand and say, I need to chat. And I could easily schedule a free 15-minute phone conversation to kind of chit-chat on your story of digestion and see if we can't help resolve your constipation. So hope to talk to you soon. Bye.